On Wednesday, Dak Prescott was limited in practice for the first time in his career because of a shoulder injury he suffered last week against the Rams.
Yeah, but how are his hips?
He did say they're good. He did stay in the game, and he played well enough to get the win, but he hasn't taken a snap in practice the last 2 days. So what does it mean for his availability Sunday against Philly in perhaps Dallas's biggest game of the season thus far? Here's Dak.
It's all improving. That's the key. It's the goal. I'll be good to go Sunday. This is what you play this game for. When I was a little boy and dreamed about being a quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, these are the situations you thought about being in. And excited for this moment, this opportunity for our team.
You think he dreamed about being 7-7 and is backing his way into the playoffs?
When he was dreaming about being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, he had programmed into his head the perfect quarterback speak from the moment he got to the league to right now.
He's been practicing.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right, who wins on Sunday? Is this the Cowboys or is this the Eagles, Nick?
I do not think Dallas clinches the division on Sunday. I do think Philadelphia wins the football game. I do think Philadelphia is the better team. I think they're the better coach team. And I think they have the better quarterback. Now, the deck is stacked against Philly to a degree, and I know, or not to step on your commentary, you probably are going to factor that in maybe a little more than I am as far as the injuries on Philadelphia, but this to me is less about Philadelphia and more about a total lack of faith in Dallas.
Sure.
And I understand that Philadelphia, they have the same record, and they both come into the season with higher expectations than the Cowboys. But a lot of people thought both these teams were playoff teams. Most people believe both these teams have underachieved. So why am I more out on Dallas than Philly? Because through the first 13 games of the season, I saw Philly in multiple instances rally against really good opponents. I saw them go to Green Bay and win. I saw them put it on a Buffalo Bills team that is, even though people don't want to acknowledge it, that's a good football team. They're limited at quarterback, but that is a good football team. I saw Dallas do it once. Now, I know it's the most recent thing we've seen, but they also did it against a team that I consider far inferior to Green Bay or to Buffalo in the Los Angeles Rams, another one of the disappointing, underachieving teams in football this year. So for all those reasons, and maybe most notably because the game's in Philadelphia, I think the Eagles win this game, and they, unlike Dallas, they can't clinch the division with a win, but they can all but clinch the division with a win.
Well, first we'll start with expectations, okay? Jerry Jones' expectations were to get to and win a Super Bowl.
Sure.
So there are no more higher. You know, I go to their training camp every year with my radio show, and that's all they were talking about was Super Bowl. And that's why they said, all right, we'll give Zeke the contract, even though it's essentially the Todd Gurley contract, which is a bad deal. Because the thought is, hey, small window here, we can go win a Super Bowl with Dak on his rookie deal. So the expectations were equally high, if not higher, with Dallas, and they have been disappointing, and they are America's team, and they do have their owner that conducts his own press conferences and talks about how well-coached everybody else is except the guy that he hires. So he's kind of created the expectations and the narrative that Jason Garrett, his guy, is coaching for his job. But the Eagles have been equally inconsistent, have been equally putrid. Like, look, they had to rally to beat the Redskins, who stink.
They had to rally to beat the Giants.
They had to rally to beat the Giants. They lost to the Falcons back when the Falcons couldn't beat anybody early in the year. Like, they have some, these are two equally
flawed
teams, but I think the Eagles are more flawed just because of the injuries. Like, I don't think their roster.
Isn't that the reason why they had to rally, maybe, to beat?
Yes, I also think their defensive backfield is bad. I think they're a little bit older.
It has been.
You know, Lane Johnson, you know, he's hurt. He always hurt or suspended. This one, it's hurt.
Right.
You know, so I think there's a. And then Carson Wentz, their quarterback, who I agree with you. I think he's the better quarterback, but he's not always playing like the better quarterback. Some because the guys around him, he's trying to make a better play. Some because he hasn't held on to the football, right? Can't fumble the ball. Turning the football over is the greatest way to get yourself beat. I do think the Cowboys win. I agree. They're flawed. They're inconsistent for a reason. They're not particularly well coached. I don't think their roster is as good as they think it is. I don't think Dak is as profound a breakthrough guy as some would lead you to believe. And he's banged up. But they're far healthier, far better. And I do think in many ways they found something defensively in terms of some multiple looks they provided last week that they'll come and, in and win. The big question there with them has been kicking game all year.
And that is, by the way, the defense is the underrated part of what happened against the Rams. The way they just absolutely eliminated Todd Gurley, the way they made Jared Goff look the way he had looked the few weeks, not the few weeks prior, but the 2 months prior in the season where he was a little overwhelmed by the situation. The Cowboys defense was exceptional, and maybe this is too basic, but I think we actually agree on this. In this matchup, which team has the better coach? Philly. Which team has the better quarterback? Philly. Which team's at home? Philly. So I have home field advantage.
Yeah.
I have the more talented quarterback. I have the more secure, established coach. To me, the injuries have to be a total epidemic rather than just I'm without all my wide receivers. And maybe you would say it is an epidemic, but to me, it's not quite to that level.
Yeah, but it was now look, the last time they played, it should be pointed out the Eagles fumbled in the first two possessions, right?
And the Cowboys annihilated them.
But we also should point out the Cowboys annihilated them. They could not cover Amari Cooper, and they could not stop Zeke Elliott.
Yep.
And the Cowboys are not traditionally some great home team where they have home field advantage playing in that gigantic place. So I like Doug Peterson, but I'm not necessarily with you. Do I think he's a better coach than Jason Garrett? Yeah, but he hasn't shown himself to be nearly the same guy, especially since all his staff went elsewhere after they won the Super Bowl.
And he's gotten a lot of benefit of the doubt because the Super Bowl is still sort of hanging around that stadium. You mentioned that the Cowboys aren't particularly well coached. If they win Sunday, they're in the playoffs. Does getting to the playoffs save Jason Garrett's job, either one of you?
No. No, because of the No.
Well, Doug thinks he could stay, but he doesn't think the playoffs alone do it, right?
Correct. Making the playoffs is not the expectation, especially when the Giants have been historically bad. The Redskins are on like their fifth choice at quarterback, and they've already fired their head coach early in the season. So you have to factor in this is the worst division in football. If you can't win the division, what's the saying? If not now, when? Right? If you can't win this division this year, you're never winning this division. So no, I don't think it saves his job. But I also I'm not going to make a closing statement on who stays and who goes. It's like the Jameis Winston thing. You go back 2-3 weeks ago, you're like, he's gone. Now he throws for 450 2 weeks in a row. They've won 5 in a row. You're like, well, maybe you ride this Jameis Winston thing out, right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing with you know, Ryan Tannehill comes in and saves the day for Tennessee.
But
so,
is that the best thing for the team?
Well, separate questions. Let me answer your first one first. Jason Garrett's gone. He's gone. They did not give him a contract extension after they won 7 of 8 games last year and won a playoff game and made it as deep into the playoffs as they ever have with him as the head coach. If you don't give him a contract extension, then you are looking for a reason to move off of him. This year is the reason. Because you're right that even though Vegas had Philly with better expectations than Dallas, Jerry Jones had the Cowboys with the highest expectations they've had since they had the triplets, without question. And so even if they win this week and win next week, which they wouldn't even have to if they win this week, they get to 9 wins. Even if I'm wrong and the winner of this division wins that first home playoff game and upsets a San Francisco or Seattle, Jason Garrett is gone. The only thing that could save him is multiple playoff wins, which is an impossibility.
See, but got back to the Princess Bride. He's mostly dead,
but he
is somewhat alive.
No, but he is all the way dead because it is an impossibility.
No, it is not. Look back at the Philadelphia Eagles, okay, when they won the Super Bowl. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a team, they lose their quarterback, and at this point in time, 2 years ago, Nick Foles looked completely overwhelmed with that offense.
They had a buy-in home field advantage.
I understand, and they survived Atlanta, okay, mm-hmm. and then they get Minnesota, who should not have beaten the Saints if not for the miracle, and they're starting Case Keenum. Like, a lot of crazy things can happen in the next month, and the Cowboys are not a bad football team. They have been a dysfunctional and a disappointing football team, but it's not for lack of talent, and like, look, you win a game, you get momentum. You win another game, you get momentum. And injuries do sometimes play into it. If they get to the NFC Championship game, you're not firing Jason Garrett.
Right.
You're just not.
But they're not going to get there.
It's not likely to happen. But it's not it's not a done deal. 0% chance?
0%.
Anyway, down to the Patriots now. Tomorrow they host the 10-4 Buffalo Bills, who have had a tremendous season. Patriots can clinch an 11th straight AFC East title with a win. All of that despite their offensive woes. Nick Wright, will the Pats beat the Bills and win the division?
Well, I think Pats will eventually win the division, but I don't think it'll be this weekend because I don't think they're going to beat Buffalo. Now, I understand where this game is being played, and picking the Bills to win in Foxborough seems foolish. But picking this offense, especially speaking of injuries, with Julian Edelman dealing with whatever he's dealing with, picking this offense to all of a sudden score the requisite points to beat a competent team, to me, that seems a little foolish as well. We saw this offense stuck in the mud against Cincinnati for the first half of that football game. What flipped that game to where the Patriots all of a sudden scored in the high 30s was a muffed punt, then an interception, then a pick six, then a short field after an onside kick. We know the offense couldn't get going against Kansas City, couldn't get going against Houston, Dallas, Philly,
and this is
Baltimore.
A legit defense. Buffalo has a legit defense. Great team speed.
And the first time around, the Patriots scored 13 points in the first 9 minutes. Seven of those came on a blocked punt touchdown, and then scored 3 points the rest of the way. Brady did that, but Brady also has struggled mightily against this team with this coach. Since Sean McDermott, now maybe the record hasn't struggled. Look at Tom Brady's numbers. 5 games since Sean McDermott's been the head coach of the Bills. That's terrible.
Yep.
That is not just bad for Brady. That's bad for anybody. 74 passer rating, 6.5 yards per attempt, more picks than touchdowns. And even Brady this year, his worst year he's had in at least 15 maybe of his career, yeah. One thing he's done a really good job of, not turning the ball over. He's been great at protecting the ball. So, yeah, I think the Bills can win this football game. It does because of the tiebreakers, they would have to win this game and next week and then also have the Patriots lose this game and lose next week to win the division. So I think Pats still win the division, but I think the Bills win a very close game on Saturday.
Remind me, okay? He said the Eagles were going to win because of three factors, right? They were at home.
They were at home.
They had the better coach and they had the better quarterback. Right?
Yes.
Okay. The Patriots
are at home. They have the better coach. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I think...
I'm not sure.
Well, no.
I just want to see what he's
saying is kind of my argument, the LeBron argument I made earlier, which is, like, if I say that Kevin Durant has been better than LeBron James the last 3 years, it's not throughout his career. LeBron at his absolute peak is better than Kevin Durant was maybe last couple years, right? And now LeBron at 34, 35, he can't be expected to be Giannis at 24,
sure.
Right? So what he's saying is Tom Brady, who was bad at the end of last year, I know he had the Jets game where he played great, mm-hmm. but he had other stinkers.
He was bad in the AFC Championship
right.
game. He was bad in the Super Bowl.
Right. He gets worse as the season goes on because of all the reps on that shoulder and people can get him off his spot. But he's still Tom Brady. They're still the Patriots. They find a way. And again, to use your argument, like, are you really going to pick Josh Allen?
I just did.
On the road mm-hmm. to beat the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Can I give in December? Can I give one pushback on that? Now, the on the road part is a big factor. I'm not eliminating that. But as far as Josh Allen, the Bills could not have gotten worse quarterback play than they got in this first meeting.
Sure.
That was...
They wheeled out Matt Barkley, and you're like, damn, Matt Barkley's still in the league?
Josh Allen, before he got hurt,
he was bad.
Threw three picks.
Yes.
Then Matt Barkley came in, and he threw a pick. And they were still
had a chance
right
to win the game.
Yeah. The entirety of that second
Listen,
half.
There's no reason... And part of what's happened in the NFL is what we see in the NBA, and the same thing happens in baseball. Because there are teams that are non-competitive. The difference this year in the NFL is there's been a group of teams that have been non-competitive since game one. Usually it's like game 14 on, right? Mm-hmm. Teams start packing it in. But the Dolphins were just inept. The Bengals have just been inept. Terrible teams. So it's really hard to use the volume of statistics because the Patriots have loaded up defensively against the bad teams, kicked the hell out of them, scored a bunch of points where they play the good teams and they come right back down to earth. So I don't think the Patriots are as good as defensively as their rankings are. But I ain't picking against the Patriots to win on a Saturday in New England.
It's been the theme this season, benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
But for the Patriots, what they want is the quickest path to Miami, right? Get there as quick as possible. What happens to this team if they don't get the bye this
year? Well, no, they've never made a Super Bowl without a bye, and we know the importance of that. They can still win this division by losing this game, but if they lose this game, the Chiefs all of a sudden, assuming they take care of Chicago, go to the 2-line, and the Patriots are sitting there at the 3-line.
first things first. Last night, the Rockets were in L.A. to face the Clippers. All Clippers early on, up by 17 at one point, but Houston fought back thanks to 40 points from Russell Westbrook, 28 from James Harden. As Doc Rivers said after the game, when you pay so much attention to Harden, you sometimes forget the other MVP on the team. Oh. Rockets win 122-117. Nick, who's got the better shot to come out of the West between these two teams, Rockets or Clippers?
Once again, I'm going to revisit what I said at the beginning of the year. Houston, because the ceiling is higher because of the variance of three-point shooting. They either of these teams, to my eye, and to the standings and to the metrics and to the numbers, are significantly inferior to the Lakers. So how do you beat the Lakers? Add some randomness to it.
Three-point shooting.
Three-point shooting. Right. And the Rockets last night, by the way, won the game without that. Both teams shot 37 threes. The Clippers made 16. The Rockets made 14. So last night wasn't one of those nights where the Rockets go 23 of 50.
And that's without Lou Williams really doing much because he got thrown out.
Thrown out early in the fourth quarter. So he was around. He wasn't having a very good game up to that point.
Lou Williams played 6 minutes.
And so he played 17 minutes throughout. But the other element for this is last night, once again, the Clippers are supposed to be a great defensive team without rim protection, which is very difficult to do. The way you do it is you have the greatest collection of perimeter defenders since the mid-90s Bulls, since you had Pippen, Harper, Jordan as perimeter defenders, right? That's the idea. That doesn't play when Kawhi Leonard is standing in the corner guarding Daniel House. He did that the first time around, standing in the corner guarding PJ Tucker. He did that this time. They've lost 2 of 3 to this basketball team. The first loss was because Harden went off. The second loss because Russ went off. And Kawhi Leonard, if he's not going to play that often, when he does play, he needs to be exceptional. Last night, he was 2 for 9 in the second half with 8 points and 4 turnovers and was not even close to the best defensive player out there. That does not get it done against the best teams in basketball.
I agree. But here we are with Houston looking better in the regular season, shooting a bunch of threes. Where have I seen this before? Mike D'Antoni, right? But again, like you go back to the who's done in the playoffs before as coach, who's done it before in the playoffs as a player. And I do think, look, the Clippers played a lot of zone in the first half. I still think they're trying to figure out what they have and who they are and how they play. As much as I agree with you on rim protection, when the Rockets go small, you can't really have rim protection anyway, right? Because you're gonna have to match him small for small.
But you're going to need rim protection against the Lakers.
No question. And then are they going to be able to make an addition? You know, so I don't think any of these teams are truthfully whole. Like the Rockets, we know they're going to go out and try and add a piece. The Lakers are going to try and add Andre Iguodala. The Clippers are going to try and
add
Andre Iguodala, but also not rim protection, but very good defensively. And how much does he have left in the tank? My takeaway was I still think as much as Russell played great statistically last night, he really didn't get it going until James Harden was on the bench. They're still not working together and bringing the best out of each other when they're on the floor at the same time. That takes time, and it may never happen. But I also think that if it's going to happen with Russell at this point in his career, it's going to happen with him off the basketball, which is with James Harden. So, look, I think it was a great win for the Rockets. I think it was a poor performance, not just from Kawhi, but from Lou Williams, and then some poor shot selection at times, shoddy defense. But it's the regular season. The Clippers their plan is to push towards being great in March, April, May, and especially June.
And if they can hold on to the 2 seed, then it will be justifiable. But right now they've got 9 losses. The Lakers have 5. The Nuggets have 8. The Rockets and Mavericks also both have 9 losses. And the Jazz, I think at some point, you would think, will get it together. Maybe they won't. Maybe the Jazz is just going to be a disappointing team after the big offseason additions. It is absolutely in play. This game we saw last night is the first round. in the Western Conference as a 4-5. It is certainly in play. It's the 2-3 with the Clippers as the 3. This whole idea of we are going to take it easy in the regular season so we are more rested in the playoffs, that sounds great until in the first round of the playoffs you are in a 2-week, 7-game war. Meanwhile, the teams that took the regular season more seriously are sweeping the Sacramento Kings in the first round.
I mean, except for the fact that we've had the Celtics and the Rockets before have the best records in the league and not win. So we've seen these things before. Rockets, and I know they're not going to have the best record, but teams having a better regular season record and seemingly an easier path does not mean an easier path in the playoffs.
I like the dramatic effect when you look at me and you tell me. It adds to it. So I think that works. Milwaukee Bucks took down the Lakers in a potential NBA Finals preview last night. Giannis hit a career-high 5 three-pointers to help lead the Bucks. And after he hit his 5th three, he did a crowning motion as if he was anointing himself the new king of the NBA. Nick, is Giannis taking the crown from LeBron as the best player in the game, or did I misread that entirely?
No, that's what he was doing, and I loved it.
Really?
Of course. This is how this is supposed to go. Now, I don't think he's done it yet. I think that Giannis, there are two guys who, based on what they've done in the regular season, for Giannis over the last couple years, for Harden over the last 5, they have the argument. Nobody's better at basketball than me, those two guys. But because neither of them have taken their team to the NBA Finals, forget when a championship even got into the finals, we put a discount on it. We graded on a curve to a degree. And so Giannis, it's going to be very difficult for him to be the, not even unanimous, but even the plurality favorite of best player in the world until we see him overcome what he wasn't able to overcome in the final 4 games of the conference finals last year. But this is what is supposed to happen. He is the most physically gifted player in the league. He turned 25 last week. He's the reigning MVP. If you're a great, great player, you win MVPs in bunches. Like LeBron won 4 out of 5. Larry Bird won 3 in a row. Jordan won back-to-back MVPs multiple times. Like Giannis is supposed to, Duncan won back-to-back. Giannis is supposed to win back-to-back MVPs and supposed to feel like he's the best player in basketball. Now, right now this season, would I rather have Giannis or LeBron over the course of the regular season? Giannis. That's why he was my pick to win the MVP. Would I rather have Giannis or LeBron over the course of this year's playoffs? The answer is still LeBron. But Giannis can change that. Giannis, and maybe he will change that, and it wouldn't be shocking to me if he did, Doug.
So let me get his argument straight. I just want to make sure he said, right?
I love this.
You have to have the great regular season and then prove it in the postseason, especially if you proved it against LeBron and LeBron's guarding you, right? That would be like vanquishing the greatest player in the league would put you as the best player in the NBA, right?
You're going to try to bring up Kevin Durant.
Yeah, Durant did it, but he's not playing basketball right now, I understand. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that Giannis is taking the crown from LeBron. LeBron has the crown because he's done it for so long, but he hadn't been truly the best player in the league for probably...
His last healthy year, there is no argument that in 2018, when LeBron James played all 82 games, and then... 2 7-game series, 1-1 on the road, 2 buzzer beaters in the playoffs, and a 51-8-8 in game 1 of the NBA Finals, which was his last healthy season before this one. So last season, no question, he wasn't the best player. There is no argument there was anyone better in basketball than him that year. None.
Why? Kevin Durant was the Finals MVP and played better than him over the length of the NBA Finals. You want to take game 1, that's great. Congratulations. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't LeBron's fault that J.R. Smith doesn't know time and score and situation. And I'm sure he's sitting there going, I'm working with a bunch of idiots here. I got to get out of town. Okay. He was great, but Kevin Durant consistently has shown us in the NBA Finals that he was the better man at the exact same position. If you want to point out that in that year they didn't have the better surrounding cast or even on same plane, I'll agree with you, and it makes it really hard to judge. My point is that I think Kawhi Leonard currently has the crown in the postseason. The postseason is where you earn the respect of the league. The postseason is everything in the sport, even more so than football. Like football, we do make it about Super Bowls and number of Super Bowls, and that's why Tom Brady's the GOAT, even though Aaron Rodgers probably the better quarterback. But, you know, Dan Marino still won Super Bowl. But you have to do it in the postseason.
So Kawhi, there was a point in time when Tony Parker had it.
No.
He won Finals MVP.
Yeah, but Tony Parker was never the best player on that team. Tim Duncan was.
Okay, so there was a time when Dirk Nowitzki had it then.
He had the one-time NBA Finals, one-time MVP. Yeah, Here's the argument against Dirk is he never did it at the defensive end. All these guys that we're talking about, okay, whether it's Giannis, Kevin Durant didn't have it even when he was the best scorer in Oklahoma City because he never dug in defensively until he decided, hey, there's another end of
these
the floor.
These guys never had it because there was a guy named LeBron James who was obviously, clearly, and statistically better than all of them, but Giannis might end that. Like, do you think Giannis can end this year with the title?
Yes.
And do you think if he does that, he'll be the best player in basketball?
Yes. It kind of depends, right?
If they win the title, he's going to have to have been brilliant because they don't have enough.
There's no other guy. I mean, they could collectively shoot a bunch of threes, but he's going to have to be great. I think the fascinating thing would be if he gets there and he doesn't see LeBron. Like, right, when we see this matchup, we never got LeBron and Kobe in the same NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see the passing of the torch there. It just had to be a passing of the torch because LeBron kept getting to the NBA Finals. And Kobe's team could, you know, Kobe ran out of gas and it was dysfunctional. Then he got hurt, right? So I would love to see those two. But I also think that if we see Kawhi, the reigning Finals MVP, and, you know, that I think the crown could be passed in terms of Finals best player.
So if the Bucks make the Finals, here's the thing that is so exciting. No matter who they play, unless somehow Denver, Utah make the Finals, which I don't think either one of us think they're going to, we are going to get to see somebody either hold on to or reclaim it. Because Bucks, Lakers, LeBron, Giannis, one of them's walking away with it. Bucks, Rockets, Giannis, Harden, one of them's finally saying, I have vindicated finally for Harden, not finally for Giannis. That's not a fair word to attach to it. Hey, regular season MVP, regular season dominant, or Clippers, Bucks. Kawhi trying to do it again, the third team with the championship, or Giannis. So no matter what, this is, barring some unforeseen injuries like we had, unfortunately, in last year's regular season and postseason, we're going to get this question answered.
Maybe. Like, look, I'm not ready to... Look, I think the Bucks are spectacular in the regular season. They're also the best transition team in basketball. A lot of that goes away when you get to the playoffs. And I do think, I think Philly, I think Toronto, I think the Celtics. They're
all very good teams.
Right, and when you shoot the volume of threes and play at the pace that the Bucks play, granted they're very good defensively, which helps them shoot more threes and have more possessions, I do think it could leave you vulnerable. Remember, they weren't the representative for the East the Toronto Raptors were last year.
No, I understand. By the way, one last thing real quick. You said we never got to see LeBron versus Kobe, so Kobe couldn't pass the torch. Very difficult for Kobe Bryant to pass a torch. He never actually held. Because it went from Jordan to Shaq to Duncan to LeBron. You know this. You don't disagree with that.
It's true. No, I don't think the Tim Duncan thing is fat. It's a deeper, longer conversation there.
Yeah,
but I think in the league, Kobe was seen. Kobe had a window there where he was seen as the best guy.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.